life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 97 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is June the 22nd, 2013, and joining us today is Leon Everett.
Hello.
Hello.
High energy opening there.
High octane.
And we are here to talk. This is a topic that Leon suggested, and then I made smaller, because otherwise it would go on for ages. We're going to talk about our favourite anime opening themes. Not the ending themes, not the soundtracks. They can be future episodes. But just the opening theme to an anime. But first up, our regular segments. And we begin, as always, with the UK anime releases for this week, which I had to rewrite at the last minute because it was slightly different from what it said when I wrote it 2 weeks ago. First up is a familiar visitor to these shores. It is the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood Complete Collection Part 1 on Blu-ray, which has appeared on the schedule and thus this podcast before.
I'm sure this comes out every week. I swear.
Apparently, honestly, really, it is coming out on Monday. And that is episodes 1 to 33 on Blu-ray.
How many episodes were there of Brotherhood?
64?
Yeah, something like that. That's about half of it.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah, and what's that on? That is just over 30 quid on Amazon.
Not bad, actually. Pound an episode. Well, thereabouts.
Yeah, thereabouts. A little bit less. And then there's Naruto Shippuden Volume 13. Which,
what does that cover?
That it covers some of that arc where Pain invades the village.
Right.
I have seen some of that one.
I've read some of that, but I won't be buying it. No way, Jose.
Coming out both on Blu-ray and DVD is Kids on the Slope.
Woo!
Which
best show from last year. It's where it is.
It's pretty cool to see that on the list.
But I'm going to get this on DVD, I think.
You might as well get it on Blu-ray, because it's only slightly more expensive. It's £21.66 on Blu-ray.
Yeah, but the thing is with Blu-rays, I can't borrow it to many people. Like, I know more and more people are getting Blu-ray players, PS3s and whatnot, but DVD is like, oh, check this out, and be like, okay, no problem. Whereas Blu-ray is like,
so you're going to sacrifice like the resolution just on the off chance that you're going to lend it to someone who's not going to just download it anyway.
Good point. Good point.
Plus, isn't it still streaming on Crunchyroll? So,
It is still on Crunchyroll. Yeah,
they could watch that if they really wanted to watch it.
And then you can enjoy it in 1080p.
Yeah, that's a point. Okay, but yeah, I'm gonna get this. Definitely gonna get this.
Yeah, because on Amazon, the DVD's £19.13, so you might as well get the Blu-ray.
How many episodes were that in the end?
30. Is it 11?
Oh, this? I thought it was 13.
Suritama, which was the thing running alongside it, was 11, so...
Let's have a peek. I should know this, because I love this show. It was the best. There is 12 episodes.
Okay.
Slap in the middle.
Maybe I've got the episode count on the other wrong. Other thing.
But I think everyone should buy this. Is Leon going to get it?
At some point, I probably would, because I haven't finished this series, but I really enjoyed it so much that seeing it on this list earlier on, I was like, wow, I didn't even think it was anywhere close to coming out in the UK.
You watch a bit, did you?
Yeah, I remember telling you I started watching it, but I got to episode like 4 or 5, but then I didn't get around to going back to it.
Oh, it's really good.
Things changed, but I do want to go back and watch it, and now I've got the opportunity.
Good stuff.
And the final release is on Blu-ray, a release of Panty and Stocking with Garterbelt. Makes me annoyed that I put it on DVD now, because it was like, oh, it'll never come out on DVD, better buy the Blu-ray. Never come out on Blu-ray, better buy the DVD. And then I think
it looks amazing as well.
I think a few months after I bought it, it was announced that it was going to be coming out on Blu-ray over here.
I never even finished it. Still never finished it. overrated. I've said it before. It's the adventure time of Batman. It really is. Oh, my God. There's a cat climbing a drain pipe outside. That's like something from a film or a cartoon. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Right. Okay.
It looked really weird.
I shall probably be buying this.
And how much is it?
It is $25.38 on Amazon. That's a combo pack, apparently, by the looks of the cover art. Unless that cover art's wrong. So you get the Blu-ray and the DVD.
You'd be better off saving a couple of quid and getting Kids on the Slope. Telling you. I'll get both.
I suspect there's not as many dick jokes in Kids on the Slope.
There's not a single dick joke.
Spoiler.
It's mature. On these panties and stockings.
And that's your lot for this week on the UK anime releases front. So, Leon, what you watch?
What you watch?
Recently, I've been unconsciously doing a thing of watching like badly reviewed movies. So, recently saw After Earth in the cinema.
Any good?
Any good is a bit of a leading question, but it's not as bad as you would think it would be, considering that it's M. Night Shyamalan and like a Will Smith and his son vehicle. Like, it's not as bad as you think it would. There's actually some genuinely like interesting ideas and stuff in there. I think the issue I had with it is that it's just, I guess the pacing is really up and down, especially like the beginning of the film. It's just like scenes of like silence and like awkward conversations, and you're thinking like, wow, these two are actually like father and son. And like Wilson's quite charismatic, like, and at the moment they've got like no rapport. But then like later in the film, it starts to build. But like, I know it's not the worst film ever, but I wouldn't recommend seeing it in the cinema. I'd say catch it on TV or something like that, because it's all right, and there's some generally like all right action and stuff in it, but there's really nothing there.
Did you say catch it on TV?
Yeah.
So don't even buy a DVD of it. Just
a DVD is like bigger than going to the cinema, really. Cause
I guess.
Stay in your house.
Yeah,
oh, catch it on Netflix. Catch it on Netflix.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, catch it on Netflix. But, like, it's just a weird thing, because it's not a terrible movie, but it's not a great movie, and it sort of falls into that weird sort of between where it's sort of like an movie, so it's not really talkable. But, like, it's quite sad, because the writer, or one of the writers, Gary Witter, I'm quite a fan of his, because he was ushering the main storyline on The Walking Dead game, which I really, really like. And he also did Book of Eli, which I thought was okay. So it's like, it's a shame that he's sort of taken a bottom dip, but hopefully his next movie or whatever is better.
Well, yeah, remember the story, though, is based on a story by Will Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
He came up with a story for
I guess there's only so much you can polish a turd, to be fair.
My parents went to see it, and they didn't say it was very good, but my mum did cry in it, so I'm presuming there's a sad scene. Is there a sad scene?
Yeah.
I listened to the How Did This Get Made podcast about it, so I'm vaguely aware of the plot.
But they've already done an episode on this?
Yes. In fact, they did it. They went to the cinema, came out of the cinema, went to the Earwolf Studios, and recorded the podcast straight away.
Oh, awesome. I'll have to download that.
Awesome. It's like I was expecting it to be a lot worse than it was. But it's only, yeah. The other film that I watched, which sort of falls under that category, was, you know, Disney's Atlantis?
Yes.
The animated one, yeah. Because I had obviously put that off for many years, because I heard it was terrible, and it came during that period where Disney were no longer, like, on that run of 90s and sort of classic films. I think it was Eisner who was in charge then, so I think this is during the time of all the sequels and all that. And so it always got rejected, but then I... stupidly enough, I was on Wikipedia looking for something, and it was the featured article. And the thing that caught my eye was that it said that the character designs were inspired by stuff by Mike Mignola, you know, the guy who did Hellboy. Mm. So then I clicked through, read about the film, and it still thought like, meh. But I thought, it's on Netflix. So I watched it with Suze yesterday, I believe. And it's like, it's not bad, you know. It's a lot better than you would think, considering like the time it came out and what else Disney were up to during that era. It's actually not bad. I mean, it doesn't feel like a Disney film. It doesn't feel like you're Aladdin or whatever. But no, it's an all right little adventure film. It's definitely not Treasure Planet, which also came out around the same time. But it's I'd recommend giving it a watch. It's not amazing or anything, but it was all right. It was a fun film.
Well, you know what makes me laugh about that film? A while back, there's some article like hottest animated girls. You know the silver-haired girl from that.
Yeah.
From Atlantis. She tops every list.
What?
I swear, there's so many lists where she's topped the list.
How have you read so many of these lists?
It is something that I was like, because I didn't know who she was and what she was like. Because I've never seen Atlantis, but she tops a lot. Look it up. She's like really high regarded in the pervy animated girls scene.
I'm just imagining that you came across this list. You didn't know who she was. Oh, I'm going to find another one of these lists with people I know in it. And then she kept on appearing in all these lists.
It's weird because I've still not seen it. And is she hot? Does she warrant?
She's 2D, drawn by like paint and stuff.
Well, let's not get into the specifics, Leon. But yeah, she was top of a few lists, so there you go.
But, you know, I recommend watching it. It's on Netflix. I don't know if it's on the UK one. I don't know why it wouldn't be, but. I'd say give it a watch.
All right.
I've never seen it. All I remember is people complaining that it was ripping off Nadia, Secret of Blue Water.
Yeah, it probably is. But it's an easy watch. It's only like an hour and a half long.
I think you're dreaming this, Anthony.
I'm not dreaming. Are you looking it up? This was a few years. I mean, this film's 2001.
It's got to be some pretty specialist sites you were looking at for these top tens.
Right, I'm going to.
I think it was them private forums.
Top ten. I can't remember. Top ten girls in animation.
Because you know, every time a Maxim or one of those magazines is going to do this, it's going to be Jessica Rabbit at number one.
Well, I'm just loading up a list now, and I'm going to see if she's number one. Oh, get off. It's a video. I'm going to watch a video of it. Never mind. But, this was 2000, like in the 2000s. I'd probably look this up. So I'm going to quit looking. Fanpop.com.
Whatever I think you've imagined this.
Oh, there. Well, she's 19 in this list. And she's ahead of Snow White.
I guess she's dropped over time.
She's dropped. I mean, you know, people's tastes change. Let's see who's number one. Just for curiosity's sake, I want to see who number one is. Any guesses?
Jessica Rabbit.
Nope. Leon?
I don't even know who's been animated since then. No idea.
Anastasia from Anastasia. She's number one. That's a load of rubbish.
People like redheads now.
Well, God, it's ridiculous. Azula from Avatars 5. She's hotter than bloody Anastasia. Anyway,
this is an episode for another time.
Fiona from Shrek is number 8. As if.
Anthony, what have you been watching?
I have been watching. Obviously, we're only allowed two now. What was I watching?
That's from behind the curtain stuff, Anthony.
Edit that out.
Yeah. That's a special recipe behind the dessert. Attack on Titan, obviously. And it's still awesome, and it gets better with every episode. I'm not going to talk too much about that because everybody always mentions it. I did watch a film, actually. I told Leon I watched it because I thought he'd just seen it. I watched Rounders with Matt Damon and Ed Norton. And it's really good. About this guy plays poker, and he gets into debt with some gangsters and has to win the money back, and that's really good. Really good. Highly recommend this. I don't understand why not many more people talk about it, because I'd never heard of it until somebody from work recommended it to me, so...
Probably the time it came out.
What's that?
No, it's probably the time it came out.
Probably, but it just seems it deserves a bit more of a nod than what it gets, considering nobody's ever said, oh, check out Rounders, whereas I would recommend it to people.
It's a good film.
Yeah, it is. And that's about it. And obviously Game of Thrones. But I'm not going to that. What you watch, Brian?
Well, I went to London to see Revolution Pro Wrestling's When Thunder Strikes show. And I saw 6/7 of it. But because it started late, and because getting out of London later than 11:30 on a Saturday night is next to impossible, I had to leave during the main event. So I did not see Jushin Thunder Liger and Fergal Devitt have their match, which was a little annoying. But I enjoyed my time there. It was a venue I've not been to. It was York Hall in Bethnal Green, the famous boxing venue. And it smells like a boxing venue.
Because it's cowboys and cigarettes.
No, just like a gym. It's got gym smell. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It could have done with one less match so that some of the later matches could have got more time. There was one match where the audience had kind of lost interest and you could hear sort of a chatter running through the entire audience over the sound of the match. But apart from that, it was a lot of good fun.
Was Gary there?
He was. Gary was there. And
you sat next to him? Or?
I did, yeah.
Was he hyping? Was he...
No, he wasn't. No.
He wasn't talking because he would have deafened out everyone else talking with his.
It's odd. I've been to wrestling shows with him. I've never heard him shout out to the volume when I've just been wandering around with him, where he's shouting out Crystal Mayes catchphrases.
What?
Start the phone.
He is a very loud character. He's good.
And I watched the first 8 minutes, talking of bad films, of Freaky Deaky on the US Netflix, which is an adaptation of my favourite Elmore Leonard novel.
Freaky Deaky.
And it's not very good. I think it's not very good as an adaptation for a start, because it moves. The book's originally set in the 80s, that's when it was written. It's sort of about these former hippies and sort of how they've grown up and sold out, and two of them are bombers and they're trying to blackmail one of the other ones. But in the film, they've decided, presumably because they wanted to cast a younger actress in one of the roles, they've decided to set it in the 70s, which kind of then that completely takes away the theme of how people in the 80s had sold out and were more interested in money than their ideals.
When did this come out, sorry?
I think it went straight to video. I think it was last year.
It's got Andy Dick in it.
Yeah, it's got lots of good people in it.
Whoa!
But Michael Jai White, Crispin Glover, I can't remember who else, Christian Slater.
So you're not going to watch past those
I'm just like,
ugh. 8 minutes isn't much of a chance, Brian.
It's just...
At least give it half an hour.
No. No. No, no, no. It's bad, bad, bad.
Can't be that bad.
It can't be.
It might not be that bad if you've not read the book. But if you read the book, it's super annoying. It's like, you're doing it wrong. And somehow it's even sort of taking dialogue straight out of the book and yet still managing to do it wrong. Because it's like the set design and the tone of the thing is all out of whack.
I'm going to watch it and I'm going to love it.
Quite possibly.
I just want to mention something, which because I thought I dreamt it until I woke up and realised I didn't. 300, the sequel. What do you reckon of that?
Well, I don't care because it's a Zack Snyder film.
It's not a Zack Snyder film.
Is it not? Or is he producing it?
He's producing it. He's wrote it. I don't know if he's produced it.
Well, that might be even worse.
Oh, The Rise of the Empire, that one. They actually
did. Yeah. There's a trailer out and everything. It looks... I don't know. I don't think it'd be very good at all.
Oh, sorry. It's a Noam Morrow film.
Noam Morrow. Who's done...
Visa. Chubby Chap.
Uh-huh.
From his Google Images search, he comes up. What's he done?
He's a chubby chap. He hasn't done much. No. Smart People, whatever that is.
I remember that film. I've not seen it, but I remember it coming out.
Dennis Quaid, Sarah Jessica Parker,
Thomas Hayden Church.
And what's her name?
Ellen Page.
Yeah, because I remember this came out after Juno. So I remember they were trying to cash in on her fame from it.
Right.
So she was on the posters more.
But yeah, I just wanted to hear what people thought. Obviously, not a lot.
That's a bit like when they started putting Ken Jeong on posters because of The Hangover.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Sandra Bullock film where he's obviously been pasted in after the fact. It's like, quick, Jeong this poster up for us. yeah, so that's all I've been watching, really. But I'm sure there's worse Elmer Leonard adaptations. I'm pretty sure I've seen one of them. And I watched more of that, but I still didn't finish it. And that was, what's the Get Shorty sequel?
Seen it. Be Cool.
Be Cool. Yeah. I mean, the novel's not that great as a sequel either, but the film is astonishingly
bad. I didn't quite like that film.
Oh, I enjoyed Be Cool.
Quite bad.
I'm trying
to. I like Get Shorty.
Oh, it's not as good as Get Shorty, but.
Right, moving on. It is now time for our weekly retro recap. ROD the TV, episode 3. Let's meet in Jinbocho. Right, here we go. I've got a checklist of things which happened in this week's episode. They were cleaning out a bedroom for them to live in. The sisters were going to move into Nenene's parents' bedroom. Maggie was scared by an evil-looking pigeon. Nenene wandered off, and then sort of they suddenly realised, oh, we're the bodyguards, we should probably have gone with her. We meet Haruhi Nishizono, which is another author the same age as Nenene, who acts ridiculously girly and also is ridiculously upbeat in opposition to Nenene's more dour outlook at life. The Paper Sisters arrive in Jinbocho looking for her and discover all the bookshops and go on a spending spree. Well, Michelle goes on a spending spree and Maggie somehow sort of has some sort of physical overdose from being in proximity to that many books. Anita follows Nenene into the secret bookshop, which appeared in the OAV series, Toto Books. The old man and his cat is still down there, still only seeing the back of his head as we did in the OAVs. Anita bumps into a mysterious blue-haired boy who's after a book from the shop, sort of echoing the OAV series again. Anita declares herself the bodyguard in the same way that Yomiko's codename was the paper. Everyone thinks that Yomiko's returned because word gets round that there's a woman buying, well, she'd bought all the books of this one bookseller's shop, but it's actually Michelle, who can apparently buy bags and bags of books in seconds. Just so you walk into a shop and then seconds later she's walked out with like 10 bags on her arms.
Not messing about.
Exactly. It was like, it's a book, I shall buy it and then read it, find out what it's about later. Nenene and Anita visit Yomiko's house, which I'm not sure, was it clear in the OAV, but that entire building is owned by her and just full of books.
I don't think you get that from the OAV, but obviously they explain it this time.
And then we see the mysterious blue-haired boy is working for Wendy.
It's actually a girl.
No, it's a mysterious blue-haired boy.
No, it's a girl.
Well, you might think it's a girl now, but spoiler alert for future episodes.
Well, I'm going to be taking her off the top 10 list.
It's not supposed to be a mystery. It is a boy.
He takes his hat off and has got long hair. Yes. Not to assume everyone with long hair is a girl, but it's got to be a girl. It's got to be a girl. Anyway.
They've retrieved this book for Mr. Carpenter, which is, if you... Did they mention Joker's real name in the OAV?
I can't remember.
I think you're supposed to know it if you've read the manga or read the books to know that that's Joker. But you'd probably guess that Wendy's there, so.
I didn't get that.
No, because his name's Joe Carpenter.
Oh.
Punning Batman-style, Batman villain-style name. And I watched the dub this week rather than the sub, and it was perfectly fine until Wendy appeared, and then that boy started talking to Wendy, and there were some truly terrible British accents. There's a spot where Nene's doing an impression of Yamiko, and the impression British accent that she's doing is better than the supposedly British character's British accents. It's shocking. Absolutely shocking. The rest of the dub was fine, but I'd forgotten about those British accents. So, what did you think, Anthony?
I thought it was all right, but I feel like it's run its course.
You've had enough, have you?
I want to love it, but I don't know. I just feel it's dragging too much, and perhaps it's something that it's probably a great, an all right series, but for a weekly retro recap, I think it's time we move on, tie the noose on this one.
3 eps in.
Well, it's better than 8 minutes. Freaky deaky, but I mean it's all right. I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I feel like it's.
You're not the first person to say this, Anthony. I think I've mentioned previously that this is people have trouble with the sort of soap opera, comedy soap opera bits, and they want it all to be the action episode bits. I think you have to wait till episode 5 before it returns to the paper spy action.
See, I do. That's what I love about it, and when it does that, it does it really well. But I think it's time to move on.
Okay, what are we moving on to?
We are moving on to, where's it got? I never know how to pronounce it. Technolize.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it either, but I know
which. Technolize, or
yes,
something. So that's next. It's next. Put it this way, this morning I knew I was going to quit this show. So I already had it planned. I've already got it ready to watch. One step ahead.
In the next week, we shall figure out how to pronounce it. Or possibly not.
And I'm sure someone good does the intro. I'm sure it's like Oasis or Radiohead. I'm sure somebody like that. Let's have a look.
In Radiohead do Ergo Proxy, isn't it?
Yeah, ending of Ergo Proxy.
Well, somebody... Oh, it's that Guardian Angel song. Juno Reactor. Nothing like Radiohead or Oasis. Don't know where I've got... Is it Eden of the East that has Oasis?
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any of that since it first aired.
What's that? Technolize.
Yeah.
Well, now's a chance. Can't they look really good?
I can't remember anything about it.
It looks really good. I hope it's not boring.
Well, we shall find out next week. So, let's go into our featured topic, which is our favourite anime openings. And for change, so I'm going to start, and then Anthony, and then Leon. Then we can finish on Leon's as being the last thing. And there'll be no game, I'm afraid, this week. Because I've got to write loads of games for episode 100, and I don't want to be wasting them on these episodes.
These 2-bit filler episodes.
Yeah, I've got a great game idea. Well, it's a great idea. Whether it works out in practice is a whole other kettle of fish. So I'm going to start with... let me get my technical wizardry here so we can play what some of these songs sound like to you. Okay. The first up on my list is the Cutie Honey theme, dating back into the 70s, but then they just do cover versions every time there's a new Cutie Honey project, which I like that. I like the fact that it's such a strong song. They want to use it again and again and again. And let's play this then. And a lot of my choices are the way I've picked them. I tend to go for ones which couldn't be used on any other show. There's no way you could use that on another show because it's mentioning the name of the show repeatedly throughout. And that's the sort of thing I tend to look for in what I think makes it. I mean, I can like a song which has just been used as an opening, but I might have liked that song anyway, regardless of whether it was the opening or not. Where I think a lot of the ones I've picked are firmly the opening to that show. So any thoughts on that song?
Yeah, my exposure to that song was the first time hearing that song was the they made movies of them, and well, as I assume you know, and I think for one of the movies they had Kodo Kumi do a version, so that's how I first heard it.
Yeah, that was used on the live action movie and also on Re-Cutie Honey, the OAV series from the same time.
Wow. It's a nice song, it's very catchy.
Yeah, yeah. Who does the cover versions? Anyone like Nickelback or any?
No, I can't.
Well, that's by Yoko Maekawa. She did the song for that. And she also did the Meg Chan song as well.
Oh, from The Witch?
Yes.
Oh, I want to watch the rest of that.
Well, as I think you're still out of luck, Anthony.
That was really good. I would urge Leon to check that out as well. I'll email or Skype you the name of it. It's so good. It's really, really good.
It is an extremely violent magical girl show, but not in
but
ways.
It's so good. It's like a psychological thriller. It's really, really good.
Righty-ho. What's your first pick, Anthony?
I'm going to go in with Rock the Dragon, the Dragon Ball Z intro.
Let me find this. And this is a dub, one of the dubs.
This is the dub one, yeah. It's none of this head shalar crap. This is taking it back to basics. Right, start from the beginning. Make sure you don't cut in mid.
This is the first time I've heard.
Ball Z.
So why do you love that so much, Anthony?
Why do I love the proof's in the pudding? You just heard it. It's great. As you mentioned, anything that shouts the name of the show at you is it's on for a winner. But this, I think it's just so much nostalgia with this. Getting in from school and having Dragon Ball Z to watch. And the intro is just so iconic for me.
Pretty hype.
It's so hype. Like, not even just the song. Like, all the imagery is amazing. Like, seeing someone turn Super Saiyan and not having a clue what it is for, like, ages. Because they used this from the very beginning. And it's just so good. And the guitars are just, oh, it's great. I'm hyped. Like, you cannot deny that the instant that kicks in, you know what's going down. Dragon Ball Z. It's great.
That was the first time that Brian had heard it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, huh?
Well,
it's better than all the other stuff.
So was it on the... I'm looking at the Dragon Ball Wikia here, and it's got... It was originally featured in the Ocean group dub.
Well, it's the one I've only ever been familiar with.
It was a joint venture between Saban and Funimation.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, and that's why Shuki Levy is one of the writers.
But it's just great. It's great.
And apparently on peer-to-peer music sharing sites, the song is often falsely credited to Linkin Park.
I did read that. I don't know why. It doesn't sound anything like Linkin Park. Maybe it's for a joke or something, but
it's
I don't know.
All the AMVs.
That's probably it.
That's probably it. I think that's somehow fused Linkin Park and Dragon Ball Z together.
Whether they like it or not.
They've got the fusion dance.
Is it Chester Bedingfield or Chester Beddington?
Some stupid
Beddington, I think.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
Leon must love that theme as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I was almost headbanging to it.
Headbang? I was throwing fists. I was powering up.
I'm looking at the lyrics list. It's, pretty amazing.
give us the best one.
Well, there aren't any. It's like they're literally all there is Dragon, Dragon, Rock the Dragon, Come and Get Me, Dragon, Dragon, Rock the Dragon, Dragon Ball Z. It's just variations of that.
I didn't know it said Come and Get Me. I didn't know it said that in the lyrics.
Sorry, Come Get Me. Sorry, not Come.
Oh, right. It's something I just. I don't know, I almost block it out in my mind as to what's being said, apart from...
You got that scream as well, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Leon, what are you going for first?
My first is going to be the opening to Ghost in the Shell standalone complex, Origa in the Universe.
Good shout.
Right, here we go. Okay, Leon, so, and also you both, this could probably go for both of you, so you both said you liked it, you both picked it on your initial lists. Why? It's horrible.
Oh my god! well, let me clarify how my list works. My list wasn't just the songs, I picked lists where I thought the, which stick to me as it being an intro, where I think what's going on screen goes really well with the music. And for all my top 10, when I think of the songs, or whenever I'm listening to them, I usually have the images from the intro there. And this is one of the best ones for that, because, well, first off, like the whole score soundtrack to Standalone Complex is insane, and it's just like Yoko Kanno decided just to do anything as different as possible. And this intro is amazing. It's like got three or four languages in it, but more importantly, the way it fits with the visuals, I just remember like first watching this, and the bit where it first kicks in and the words Standalone Complex come up, like my subwoofer just go, and it was just amazing. It's like, I don't know, it sets you up that, like, you're not just watching some stupid, like, Shonen Jump anime.
Whoa! Gonna eat those words later.
I agree with you, but that is the reason why I don't like it. Because I think Standalone Complex opening is, animation is as boring as that song, or possibly makes that song more boring to me.
See, for me, as I've mentioned in the past, I didn't like Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex originally. When I first like downloaded the fan subs, I found it really boring. So when we rewatched it and I loved it, like this was the thing I loved anyway before even liking the show. I'd heard this song before watching the show, and it's just a classic. In my eyes, it's as classic as you can get.
Oh, classic as you get, you say. Let's see about that with my next choice.
Bring it on. Come at me. Come get me. Come get me.
I will once Dropbox decides to do it. You see, I'd say that is as classic.
That is pretty classic.
Because that has done for them ever since 1977 or 78, whenever the second series start. Just variations on that theme tune. And I still think the original is probably my favourite one. But yeah, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. You know, stuff's about to go down. You've got the you know what show it is, because the very first words you hear are the name of the show. And it's got a gunshot in it. Which is another thing I love. It's sound effects in the theme tune. Breaking glass, gunshots, things like that. All great. Yeah. Probably, I don't know, between that and Cutie Honey are there with... It's a toss-up between which one I think is my favourite anime theme tune. And they'd probably be both in my top 10 TV theme tunes. In
what of everything?
Everything, yes.
Oh, what about Game of Thrones?
Not well, that's quite a good theme tune for what it is. If I'd like the show more, I'd probably like the theme tune more. So I'd say that is a good theme tune. But because I don't like the show.
That's why it's my favourite theme tune. That it's my favourite show. Yeah, that's a good choice for Lupin the Third. That's
Okay, that's, what are you going with the next Anthony?
I nearly threw in an outsider last minute, but
don't do that, because I haven't got it on this machine.
That's why I thought I'd best not. I'm going to go with the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood intro, again by Yui, I think it's pronounced. That's, go ahead.
Okay.
Play it for me, Mr. DJ.
I will. Hang on, let's turn the volume up. やり残してることをやり直してみたいから This one takes a long time to
pop. Yeah, you've got. I was gonna say, oh, you're not even. You've got to play the best bass. Please play the bass.
It's almost done.
It's not, but it's the best bit.
There we go.
That is a good one.
It's really good theme, yeah. I love the singing. I don't know what's being said. I've probably read the lyrics when watching the show and the intro and stuff, but it's just, it's really catchy. I've found myself humming that tune many an occasion, and it's just great show, great theme, better than the original Full Metal Alchemist's theme, which I can't even remember. And I really like this. It's really catchy. Good job.
So do you know if the full version has more of that lady rap rock in it?
Yes, I've got the EP from that. I think it's called Again, actually, by that artist.
Because I would, I think it takes a little too long to get going as a theme, but I imagine it might work better as the full song.
The actual intro itself, like the opening, like the credits and stuff's really good. All the imagery and stuff. It's like it's all in sync with the theme.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's extra hype.
Yeah, I think I watched it. I've only seen one episode of Brotherhood, so which is the first episode, and that was many, many moons ago. So I'd completely forgotten what the song was. Okay, Leon, what's next for you?
My one is New Jarbe's Battle Cry from Samurai Champloo.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Hang on, there we go.
I thought you were going to start beatboxing it. Like an angel, a samurai sword, the mental blade cut through flesh and bone, built my mind at peace. The world out of order, missing in the heat, night gets colder. Oh yes, I have to find my path, no less walk on earth, water and fire. And that pretty much stays at that level all the way through, correctly. But yeah, I like that one a lot. But that works very well as the opening to the show.
Yeah, looking for my list again, another thing with these intros is that they're ones where watching the intro like sets me up for the show, like on the first episode. And with this one, I knew I was like from the pedigree behind the show, I thought I was going to enjoy the show. But and obviously there was a bit of hype towards it, just like a lot of artwork and stuff at the time. But finally getting around to watching it and this starting up, and it was just like. Goosebumps. It just had everything. Yeah, it was Goosebumps because like, I really liked the song, and I'm a big fan of New Jarbe's and his work of Shingo too. It's just the visuals as well go really well with it because the visuals are quite chilled but still get across the main characteristics of like the main characters and sort of their journey. Yeah, it's just done really, really well for me.
Yeah, I like this as well. It nearly made my list. I don't know why it didn't, but something at the time, the stars weren't aligned, so it didn't make the list.
Poor Samurai Champloo.
Yeah. Poor. Did you say poor Samurai Champloo?
Yeah, it's a poor Samurai.
What happened to it?
Not making your list.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Apologies.
Can't put it on the DVD now, or the Blu-ray, I should say.
Right, here we go with my next one. It's I've moved out of the 70s now. I'm into... I think 1982.
Still before I'm born.
To get to the bit which sold the show, basically sold the show, is the giggle.
That's such a creepy giggle.
That's the first theme tune to Urusei Yatsura, which was by, hang on, I haven't got these in the same order as I've got them on there, Yuko Matsutani. Yeah, so Urasite Sura was the show which turned me into an anime fan. And I still love that opening theme. Lum's love song. And that's another one which has been covered multiple times. I think, in fact, was that, did your woman who did the Cutie Honey one do a cover of it?
She's probably done.
I think it was Nickelback. Or maybe Linkin Park.
So when you're watching all those Urasite Sura episodes, I give you Anthony.
Did you I love that. I really like this intro. It's at first, it doesn't really stick with you, but as you kind of get into the show and start finding it funny, it's a breath of fresh air when you turn it on, and maybe not the creepy giggles, but I do. It's very catchy,
and the lyrics of the song sort of fit the show as well.
And I just like the fact, that the at the beginning.
Yeah.
I like any song where you could hear like the first couple of seconds and know exactly where it is. So,
and also what time period it's from as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do like this one as well.
Okay, Anthony, what's next on your list?
It's tough. It's really tough. Fist of the North Star, Shock.
Okay.
Time. Come get me. That's not the right version. What? Is this from the... is this from that crappy new one? It is, isn't it? And I did... Well, I did try watching that after you mentioned it. It's not as good as the original series.
I don't think it's trying to be.
I only managed halfway through the episode because I got a bit... Put the reel. I'm upset. It's pretty much the same, but...
It is. Come on. I don't know why it takes so long and I've downloaded it already. Get your game together, Dropbox.
To come in and censor.
Yeah. No. Let's cancel it. Try again. Hecatecno can opening. Wait, do you want to have a go at singing it while I'm waiting?
No.
Come on.
I don't know any... Well. We are Shark! I know that bit. Oh, I didn't even get to the
Well, maybe if you give me a link to the TV-sized version.
Oh, was that not the TV? Oh, right. No, so. I didn't proofread any of these links. So
I had to get rid of some. But
terrible, ask you. I had such a short amount of time, and I went through all these.
Short amount of time?
Hang on, Leon. One of your links was to a fandom version of one of the songs.
Yeah.
To be fair, I can see why you might pick that up, because it was really hard to try to find a YouTube link of the actual normal version of the song, which hadn't had some sort of copyright thing taken on it. It's like, here is the video, but the soundtrack has been removed.
I'll look forward to finding out after.
From Acclaim. Is it sacrilege to say I prefer Tough Boy to that song?
Which one's Tough Boy? Is that the...
That's the second theme tune to Fist of the North Star.
I don't think it's... Yeah.
Is it really sacrilege to say I prefer the DD Fist
of
the
North Star? Yeah, that is sacrilege. That's blasphemy at its strongest there. But yeah, this is just such a hype intro. It's everything old school. It's... what year is this? Obviously, it's not as old as some of Brian's choices, but...
I can't remember when it started. Early 80s, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and this... such a badass intro for such a badass show. And for the record, that DD Hakuto no Ken is not very good.
It's great. It's the best.
It's not. Leon would hate it. Me and Leon like the same stuff. We wouldn't like this. If we sat down and watched it, we'd be very disappointed.
Not for us.
I mean, I'll watch the end of the episode because I'll give it a chance.
Let's not get into this now because we'll be getting to this next episode.
Will we?
When you and Bradley can gang up on me and both tell me it's not as funny as I claim it is.
Oh, good. Good. Right. Yeah, everybody loves Fist and All-Star, especially. It's so memorable. Not that I could sing any of the lyrics very well, but
1984.
You know.
Well, you sang it loud enough to get my Dropbox working.
So. Yeah, I triggered it. I sent a shock through the system.
What's next on your list, Leon?
Mine is Cruel Angel Thesis by Shiro Sajisu, from Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Good choice.
Perfection.
Well, I bought that on CD single back in the day.
Whoa. Oh,
he loves it.
I did, but it wasn't not enough to put it on my list now. But I
See,
did
that's another
it.
One where I think the visuals and stuff does match up really well with it. But it's funny because when you watch the show like marathon and episodes, it's almost disjointing because like. The way the tone of the series goes, without any spoilers, is like sort of darker in ways. But then every episode you've got that, and it perks you up for like a minute and a half before going back in.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing intro. This I always like kind of sing along in my head and I feel a little like motion because it's great. Shed a tear.
Righty ho, what's next on mine? Oh, going to the 90s, and this is something else I bought. Oh, but I didn't buy the single, I bought the...
The LP.
The LP.
Oh, really?
Well, no, the CD.
Oh.
I haven't got any anime vinyl. I had been tempted occasionally by eBay when my Lupin the Third search brings something up, where I have actually bid on Lupin vinyl, but I didn't win it.
That extra sound crispness.
You recognise the theme tune?
Nah.
That was the theme tune to The Vision of Escaflowne.
Oh, I've never seen that. So.
And also, when it aired over here, it had a dubbed theme tune, which everybody hated. People were super mad at that theme tune. They didn't love it like you loved your Dragon Ball Z one, but...
I'm not the only one who likes the Rock the Dragon.
Well,
really?
No, I'm sure there's people who hated it as well.
Probably.
People who wanted...
Them. Idiots.
Chala, hedge chala. Yeah, that was the show which got me into watching illegally pirated copies of anime. That and Evangelion. Those were the two shows I got... I binged on VHS fan subs back in the day, so... But yeah, watching that repeatedly, 7-episode chunks in a row, sort of wedged that song into my head. And that's Yoko Kanno again.
Oh.
I haven't counted up how many times she's appeared in our lists, but...
Yeah.
She's doing something right.
There a lot. She is there a lot. See, I generally like her stuff, but don't like that Ghost in the Shell.
Brian.
Okay, Anthony, what's your next one?
It's tough. As you know, I'm going to go with Naruto Haruka Kanata by Glad Asian Kung Fu Generation.
Glad you've done that.
Good.
Let me find it. Where is it?
Your Dropbox would be a mess. So unorganized. Oh. Me. That theme, I don't think there's at least in my younger day when going to cons, there was not a point in time where if it ever came on at a party, I would be screaming, singing along. It's so good. It's so good.
So you can still recite the lyrics?
If I had... No, I'm going to say no. I was going to dig a hole there.
Could you actually recite the lyrics when you were singing along, or were you just making noises?
It was a bit of both. I do love this theme. It's catchy.
Was that the thing which put Asian Kung Fu Generation in people's heads, anime fans' heads?
Maybe. It's pretty big.
Yeah, it's possibly that song or a song before, but I think it probably was that song.
Because everyone knows this song. Everyone and the dog knows this song. But yeah, it's such a good part. This is when I was like really into the series as well. So it pinpoints it like a really good point with my Naruto fandom. And it's great. I would listen to this casually, you know, just on in the background, and because it's a good song in general.
Not just as an
opening.
Yeah, I've got it here. They had that, and they were also doing the theme tune to Full Metal Alchemist at the same time.
Ah.
So, yeah, I think it was the double whammy of stuff nerds were watching.
Nerds.
Nerds. I quite like it. I'm not sure if it's my favourite Naruto song, but at the same time, I'm not sure I can remember every Naruto song either.
I mean, there's some other good ones to choose from that show. I think it's... Even the first intro is really good. I can't remember the name of that now. But yeah, I think they do manage to have good intros 9 times out of 10. There's some bad ones, but...
That one's definitely more a tool for promoting bands and singers rather than writing a song.
I think with that one as well, I found that once they stopped doing the second intro, it's harder to watch the show. I missed the intro. So I never skipped that. I never skipped it.
No.
Later
it's hype.
Never skipped that.
Okay, Leon, what's your fourth one going to be?
Oh, this was hard because I don't know what I want to say, but I'm going to go with Oasis Falling Down from Eden of the East for a specific reason.
And it'll be with us any second. Was that a bit actually used on the theme?
Yeah, that bit is definitely used, yeah.
Okay. I was a bit worried because this one's quite long. It might have just been the full song and I might have been missing.
But yeah, no, that was actually really good. That was like the main bit of the intro. But this is one of the ones where I was saying with my list is like audio and visual matched. This is one where it's one of, like, mostly because, I was aware of the song and obviously aware of Oasis, but I never really would put it together and be like, oh, this is an amazing song. But the way it matches up with the intro of the show was perfect for me. So like by the second episode, I was like singing along, "We live a dying dream." And it's like, it's a shame that the show itself is only 11 episodes because I would have sat through that for 26.
Now, would you want a BDI or High Flying Birds to do an anime theme?
Yeah, but Blur would be good.
I don't know. I was off the Oasis fandom by the time that swung around. So
Yeah, because it's quite late. It was like a couple of years ago.
Yes, and I don't know when they wrote the song. I assume that was much earlier. They just But yeah, there's been a few, particularly in the 2000s, it seems, of UK bands. I think my favourite one from recent years is the Duran Duran for Speedcrafter, but I can't remember which Duran Duran song it is now. Girls on Film, yes.
That sounds pretty cool.
The one which makes the most obvious sense, because the main character's a cameraman. Photographer, rather. But it can't be put on the DVDs because they haven't got the license.
Yeah, that is the actual problem with this. Like, recently my brother bought this for me for my birthday on Blu-ray, but I already know that for like the UK and America they weren't able to get the song. So the version that's on the DVD and Blu-ray and Netflix is some like song that they've made, which is just nowhere near as good. It might as well have changed the visuals as well, because it just doesn't fit.
Yeah, that's particularly if they animated to the song.
Mm.
Yeah, that completely messes everything up. What else was there around that time? You had Franz Ferdinand on Paradise Kiss's ending theme, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, we were discussing like, Radiohead with Ergo Proxy.
Yeah, the Delgados on Mushishi. One almost made my list, but that's going back to the 80s, because there's a really weird one where, and this is talking to animation which doesn't fit the song, there's one episode of Maze and Ikoku which has Alone Again Naturally as the theme tune, though it's still got the old animation from the previous theme tune. And the song absolutely fits the show. I can't remember what the story is behind it being there, which is why I didn't put it in the list. But yeah, it's an interesting answer to a trivia question. Okay, right, back to me again for my final one. Oh, I've got something. Yeah, I was just wondering where I should change it, but I think I should go into the 2000s now. And this is, I'm not saying, no, I definitely haven't got up and danced around to it, but this is another one which people go up and dance around to at cons. Normally doing a conga. But despite that, I still like this song. Yeah, so that is the theme tune to Halle and Goo, which is performed by, what are they called? Where's my list? I'm looking at your list. Sister Mayo. I have no idea whether they're a band who exist or whether they're one of these bands who only existed for this show. But yeah, I like a Calypso song for an anime theme tune. Doesn't happen often enough.
One too many often. Nah, I like this as well. Actually, it's catchy.
Oh no, they have to. It's a pseudonym for somebody else. Masao Sawada. She has done other ones as Sister Mayo.
I've never congered in this though, in a con.
But people do, don't they?
Yeah, like immediately when the song began, I was like, just flashbacks to anime cons.
Leon jumps to the front and he starts it. He initiates. Come on, guys, come on.
Okie dokie. Anthony, what's last on your
list? Oh. Don't do this. It's the Helsing intro.
Okie dokie.
Coming in with that.
Which Helsing is this? The TV?
Yeah. The original TV show.
I'm going to say, Anthony, it's weird you picked that, considering what was in your list, which you didn't pick.
What?
Which that is basically, I'm not a rip-off, but I suspect the reason that exists as a theme tune is because of something you didn't pick out of your list.
Hmm.
But okay. There's definitely a period of those sort of...
jazzy.
Blues songs.
I think this is as close as you'll get to that song without it being that song.
There's a few that I'm thinking of. There's one, a little watched show to the extent where I can't remember what it's called. It's like an anime version of Lovejoy. Let me have a look. I've got it sitting on my computer here. Gallery Fake, that's what it's called. And that's got a similar sort of...
Oh, right. I just like the whole bluesy thing.
That's more honky-tonk piano, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember kind of not liking this intro when I first watched the show. And then after a while, because I marathoned this pretty much, and I just fell in love with it. It's very chilled, very catchy, and it's Hell's Sing.
I thought you were going to say, and then I realised the music was the only good thing about that show.
Whoa, I love Hell's Sing. I love Hell's Sing. You know, I will finally watch Ultimate at some point, which is probably much, much better. In fact, I know it's much better. It's condensed. It's
didn't make shit up as they went along.
Well, that as well. But I really like Helsing. It holds a hot place in my heart, that show. So, as does the intro, which is very catchy. I prefer the ending theme.
Well, but save that for a future.
Yeah, podcast. It may not get the list, though. It may not get in the list.
Okay, Leon, round us off with the final track.
It's tonight. Better be.
Okay, the final song.
The theme
is
to Moldiver.
No, it's a wild card. It's the Pokemon theme tune, the English one. We can all
one
sing
piece.
Along. Oh, yeah. No, it is Yoko Kanno and Seatbelts Tank from Cowboy Bebop.
Woo! Play the bass.
I think it's time to blow this thing. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
And you all probably know how the rest of that goes.
That's the best. That is the best.
It is the best.
That is the best.
That was the one which was on all three of our lists. Yes.
Mm.
Well, anyone who doesn't like that, I don't want to be your friend.
You should be dead.
You clearly have no taste.
Oh,
I mean, nothing. That one, like, that's a perfect match for me for like with the visuals and the sound as well. But it's also a case where it's a song where just listening to it, it sort of sets the tone of the show. But also, like, away from the show, it also works as being a really good song.
And also the fact that despite that, it's quite clearly a pastiche of a type of TV movie theme. It's still good in its own rights as well. But yeah, that's definitely top 10 TV, all-time TV show themes. Mm, in fact, I've heard other podcasts which have just been about TV show themes, and they brought it up, amongst other things.
Well-deserved.
Yeah, absolutely great. So some things which we didn't play. Anthony had Outlaw Star opening. He had the Get Back as opening.
It's great! It's really good.
I was surprised that anyone still remembered Get Back as 2013.
I've got them on DVD. I never finished watching it, I'll be honest, but I've got them ready to watch.
Anthony and Leon both had the Bleach opening.
Asterix Orange Rain.
Yeah, that's the one. Which if I was going to pick a Bleach opening that I remembered, that would be the one.
Yeah.
Because it's got particularly because the opening animation as well.
Yeah, but, yeah. So that's the one where I was like very tempted to say that as one of mine. But because I always remember that whenever I hear that song. But like, that's one where as soon as they stopped doing it for the intro, it made the show a bit harder to watch. So I never skipped it.
I had City Hunter opening Go Go Heaven. That's another one with sound effects in it. That was part of the, I like the song, but it's also the TV version has got gunshots and glass breaking, which makes it better than the actual record version. Dirty Pair TV theme, Russian Roulette, that was on my list. Gaio Gaiga, that was possibly the primest example of a show you can't mistake for anything else because it's mainly a man shouting the name of the show throughout. Similar, the second theme tune to Gatchaman, which oddly started out as the ending tune, and then presumably somebody saw sense and thought, that's better than the starting theme we're using. Switch them round. What else we got from Leon? Macross Frontier, Lion. Is that another Yoko Kanno one?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Moldiver. That was an odd one. But then
that was my wild.
What does that sound like?
Let me just play it for you.
Yeah, go on.
The really odd song.
The morning sun
This is a joke pick, Leon.
Yeah. No. I've never heard the Japanese version.
Ah, well, here we go. I can make your dreams come true. Yeah, because that was from the period where Pioneer's dub releases, they were doing English version of the songs as well.
Because I bought, like, all new song.
Yeah, I bought the Tenchi album, which had all the English language versions of the various Tenchi songs on.
And then, Tenchi was a good intro.
I hopefully sold it. I hopefully haven't still got it. I don't know. I'm really not quite sure what's in my CD collection anymore. And the last one, which was on Leon's list, was the Paranoia Agent opening.
Love that.
Yes, I that almost made my list. But then I was like, I like it, but only really when I'm watching Paranoia Agent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not something to put on for...
But like, I do really like how that does, like, the visuals for that, it like... If you don't know what's going on and you just put on episode one, it's just like, what the hell is this show? That's what I love about it.
Yeah, it was pretty great the first time watching it. It's like, wow, I'm in for something here. Right, yeah, that's it. So stick your favourite openings in the comments on the website or on the Facebook. If you're on Facebook, you can put links into the clips so we can all see what they are as well. And that's our favourite openings.
Yeah.
So join us in the future at some point for our favourite endings.
That'll be a tough one.
Yeah, I ruled out for my openings to just to pick ones which have got people running in the opening. But if this was a visual podcast, we could include a video podcast, we could include that as well. And then get taken down for having all the songs and video clips in. Okie doke. Anything you want to plug, Leon?
Not at this juncture, but watch this.
I knew it.
That was a bit of a mocking laugh there, Anthony.
It was. It wasn't meant to be as mean as it came across. Leon's been busy, so he says. Instead of making games, he's been moving house and doing real person stuff.
Sorry.
Yeah, sure you should be.
How about you, Anthony?
Just on Twitter as normal. Ant ask you. Go follow.
I am also on Twitter, and I am awesome_engine. And I'm on the internet at awesome-engine.com. You can check my Tumblr at dynamiteinthebrain.tumblr.com. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the song that is Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye!
See ya.
Bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.